When some people say that the Torah is bondage that they wish to be delivered from, they may not realize it, but what they're really saying is that the Messiah is bondage that they wish to be delivered from. You see, the Torah is the Messiah, and the Messiah is the Torah, coming up next on The Clear Truth.
Clean your hands and purify your heart. Walk in the words I place in your heart. Follow my commands in love and unity. A fire of my name you shall be.
This is The Clear Truth. If you would like more information about this program or to support the work of this program, we will tell you how to do so at the end of the program. Now, here's Dr. James Scott Trim with The Clear Truth.
Shalom and welcome to The Clear Truth. I'm your host, James Trim. First of all, I want to say thank you to the audience out there for listening to this show and for making the show as popular as it has become. Thank you to those listening on Podomatic. Thank you all those of you listening on the Messianic Voice Radio, the Messianic Voice Internet Network. Thank you, obviously, to those listening on our flagship network, the Nazarene Radio Network, and thank you to those of you who are listening to us on KPJC 1220 AM in Salem, Oregon. So thank you all, and thank you for tuning in each week and making this show part of your scripture study. Today I want to talk about something that is really a foundational. It's a foundational point to truth, to scripture truth. It's a foundational point to Nazarene Judaism, but it is totally lost to Christianity in all of its various 606 denominations. Or 666,000 denominations or whatever. And I just pulled that number out of thin air. The fundamental truth is that the Torah is the Messiah, and the Messiah is the Torah. And let me establish this for you in the scriptures. Before I do, let me point out to those of you that do not know this. In Rabbinic Judaism, it is recognized that the Torah is a living, breathing being that existed from the beginning side by side with Elohim, as the express mind of Elohim. It is also recognized, therefore, that the Torah, from the very first Hebrew letter, which is a bait, to the last Hebrew letter, which is a lamed, is in fact one of the names of Elohim. All those letters run together is considered one of the actual names of Elohim. The Torah is, according to the Torah, known by a number of euphemisms, if you will. One of them is the way. In Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 12, Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 22 through 28, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 15 through 16, in all of these verses in the Torah is referred to as the way. By the way, the original followers of Yeshua not only called themselves the Nazarenes, they called themselves the Way. We see this throughout the book of Acts. And in the Dead Sea Scrolls, we see that the ancient Essenes also called themselves the Way. So the Way was originally a reference to the Torah. And as we just pointed out, in Deuteronomy 9, 12, 11, 22 through 28, and chapter 30, verses 15 through 16. The Torah is also called, in Scripture, the truth. Psalm 119, verse 142, his Torah is truth, or your Torah is truth. The Torah is truth. Psalm 119, verse 151, all the commandments are truth. Galatians 3:1 speaks of obeying the truth. We also see this in John 3:20 and 2 John 1, verses 4 and 6, that the truth is something that you walk in, something that you do. Okay, the Torah is truth. The Torah is also life, according to Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 46 through 47. It says that if we keep this Torah, it will be life to us. And the Torah is also the Word. We see this in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 10. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 3. Deuteronomy 17, verse 19, chapter 27, verses 1 through 3, verse 26, chapter 31, verse 12, and chapter 32, verses 45 through 46. We also see it elsewhere in the Tanakh, in 2 Kings 23, verse 24, and Nehemiah 8, 9. So in the Tanakh, in the so-called Old Testament, we are told that the Torah is the way, the truth, the life, and the word of Elohim. Also, in the scriptures, we see that the Torah is the light, according to Proverbs 6:23. So the Torah is also light. Now, with all that in mind, I want us to turn and look and see what we read about the Messiah in the so-called New Testament. Okay? In the book of Yohanan, in the book of John, if we turn to let's look at chapter 14, verse 6. John chapter 14, verse 6. Yeshua said unto them, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes unto the Father but me. So here we see that he's the way, the truth, and the life. How about John 8:12? In John 8:12 we read, Then spake Yeshua again, saying unto them, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And if we turn to John chapter 1, the first few verses, we find out that the Messiah is also the Word incarnate. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Elohim, and the Word was Elohim. The same was in the beginning with Elohim. So the Messiah, then we read, skipping on down to verse 10, verse 14, sorry, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, as we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This reading from the King James Version. So the Messiah is also defined or described as being the way, the truth, the life, the light, and the very incarnate Word of Elohim. Now, how can that be? Unless, of course, as the scripture is telling us, the Messiah is the Word because the Messiah is the Torah. The Messiah is the way because the Messiah is the Torah. The Messiah is the truth because the Messiah is the Torah and the Torah is truth. That the Messiah is life because the Torah is life and the Messiah is the Torah. That the Messiah is the light because the Torah is the light and the Messiah is the Torah. And the Messiah is the very incarnate word of Elohim, because the Torah is the word and the Messiah is the Torah. If what I'm saying to you is true, my friends, it means that the Torah is the Messiah and the Messiah is the incarnate Torah. The two are not divisible from each other. They are inseparable. Some people will ask me, can you be saved without the Torah? And my answer is, I don't know, can you be saved without the Messiah? Other people will ask me, can you be saved without the Messiah? And I'll say, well, can you be saved without the Torah? In fact, the very strong connection is evident in Deuteronomy chapter 18, which speaks of the prophet like Moshe that is to come, or was to come, the book of Deuteronomy chapter 18, starting in verse 18. And it speaks of the prophet that is to come, and it is speaking here of the Messiah. There are numerous sources that make this very clear. The Messiah is the prophet like Moses that is to come. And the Torah tells us that when that figure comes, we are required by the Torah to accept him, because he is the Torah. To reject him is to reject the Torah. And to reject the Torah is to reject the Messiah. So do we earn our salvation by Torah observance? Well, of course not. That's like getting cleaned up to take a bath. You don't get cleaned up to take a bath. But if you believe that the Messiah is some kind of bondage that you need to be delivered, if you believe the Torah is some kind of bondage that you need to be delivered from, then you may not realize it, but you believe that the Messiah is bondage that you need to be delivered from. If you think that the Torah is bondage, you think the Messiah is bondage. And if you believe the Torah is not for today and you reject the Torah, then you think that the Messiah is not for today and you reject the Messiah. Because you have rejected the very substance of who the Messiah is. In fact, I have a whole book about this that I recommend. It's available from our bookstore. You can go to nazarenespace.com and click on Take Hold Books, and it will take you to our bookstore, and you can get The Greatest Hoax on Earth. And you'll find out through reading this book that the greatest hoax on earth, well, it's deceived millions, maybe even you. All right, well, let's go ahead and we're going to take a break, and we'll come back after this, and we'll talk more about the relationship between the Torah and the Messiah.
Blessed be the one of unity, who gives all freely, that you may be one. I know your unity and the fullness within thee, of all he gives to thee, whereby you know the joy of life evermore. As you dance through life, from stage to stage to stage, there's a great supply of energies. Why you are here now, maybe deep below your brow, that you have forgot you're on a journey to bless Ishi of love. Blessed be the one of unity, who gives all freely, that you may be one. I know your unity and the fullness within thee, of all he gives to thee, whereby you know the joy of life evermore. Every day I will bless thee, and I will praise your name, Le'olam Moed. The light within your soul continues to unfold, that you will be healed entirely, to pierce the dark and doom. Love will not be still, until you come to say I am love, and I love to bless the one of unity who abides within me to share all life is in the greatness of his name, imparting treasuries as I cherish the love of Yahuwah, the love of unity. Baruch Shemo.
Okay, let's start with a passage. Now that we're back, let's start with a passage that is probably one of the most misunderstood passages in the so-called New Testament. Certainly one of the most misunderstood passages in all of Paul's writings. Certainly the most mistranslated passage. The passage is Romans 10:4. We're going to start in Romans 10:4. It says, "For Messiah is the end of the law," reading from the King James Version, "for righteousness to everyone that believeth." Messiah is the end of the law, or Christ, I'm sorry, "for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes." Now, this is a radically bad translation, okay? The Greek word that appears here is telos, okay, in the Greek version of the New Testament. Telos is a word that indicates end in the sense of goal or destination, from which we get the word telephone or telegraph, okay, in the sense of goal or destination or culmination. Okay, that's what the word telos means. It does not necessarily mean end in the sense of a termination. Okay, the Aramaic word here in the Aramaic Peshitta text for Romans is sakah. Sakah. Interestingly, back in 1893, when James Murdoch, who was a Christian, translated the Peshitta into English for the first time, he translated this phrase and this word in this phrase not as end but as aim. Saka can mean end, scope, summary, culmination, but it can also mean to number the sum of something, the total of something, to calculate, to count, to sum up, to look out for, or to hope for. That being said, in the Babylonian Talmud, we take some heat for that sometimes, but the Babylonian Talmud, see, one of the things I do to get a really good understanding of the scriptures from the original Hebrew and Aramaic is I will study the actual Aramaic text, say, of Paul's writings, and I will take an Aramaic word and I will look it up in and I will research how this word is used in the same Aramaic word is used in the rabbinic literature, in the Talmuds, in the Zohar, and so on. In this case, in the Talmuds, this word, sakah, is used to refer to the sum in Babylonian Talmud, Bat 21a. It is used to refer to the sum of the pupils for a teacher in the primary class being 25. That's what the word sakah means in that passage. So the word sakah can mean the sum of. Now, the translation could be, It could be translated that the Messiah is the goal of the law, or the Messiah is the aim of the law. One could even translate that the Messiah is the sum total of the law. That is, that this section of Romans is going to be making a case to us that the Messiah is the Torah, and the Torah is the Messiah. That's what Romans 10:4 is saying in the Aramaic. It's saying that the Messiah equals the Torah. That the Torah is the Messiah is the sum of the Torah. That the Torah equals the Messiah. Let's continue through Romans chapter 10, and we will see that this is exactly what Paul is saying. Verse 5. For Moses thus wrote of the righteousness that is by the Torah, that he that does these will live by them. This is quoting Leviticus chapter 18, verse 5. Okay, so remember, Paul's just said in the previous verse that the Messiah is the sum of the Torah, and he's going to quote from the Torah to prove that life comes from the Torah. And Romans 10, verses 6 through 8, as we continue, and of the righteousness that is by trust, he thus says, do not say in your heart, who has ascended to heaven, quoting Deuteronomy 30:12, and brought down the Messiah, and who has descended to the depths of Sheol, and brought up the Messiah, referring to Deuteronomy 30, verse 13, from among the dead. But who does it say? The answer is near to you, to your mouth and to your heart, quoting Deuteronomy 30:14, which is the word of trust that we proclaim. Now, Christian commentaries have been taking Paul here to be contrasting the righteousness that is by the Torah in verse 5 with the righteousness that is by faith in verse 6, to prove that the Messiah is the end of the law, or that is that the Messiah is the termination of the law, as they believe Romans 10:4 is stating. But there's a lot of problems with that interpretation. First of all, the word sakkah indicates not a termination, but a culmination, a sum total of. Okay. Secondly, Romans 10:5 and 10:6 are both quoting passages from the Torah to prove their points. Romans 10:5, as we pointed out, is quoting Leviticus 18:5. But Romans 10:6 forward is quoting from Deuteronomy 30, verses 12 through 14. So how could this be contrast? How can these passages be contrasting each other? Okay, they're not. We're not contrasting the Torah with the Torah. We couldn't be. The Messiah can't, or Paul can't be, sorry, here, quote, contrasting the Torah with the Torah. That would be self-defeating. Okay? So he's contrasting two things that are both part of the Torah with each. He's not even contrasting them. He's culminating them. You see, the way Christians get that is one of the things they'll do is they'll translate the first word in verse 6 as but. In fact, the word should be translated and. We're not looking at a contrast here, but a culmination. Okay, a building up to something. Remember when Paul taught the Bereans in Acts chapter 17? The Bereans were checking the scriptures to see if what Paul said was true, and Paul said that they were more noble than any of the others that he taught because they didn't believe what he said just because he said it. They checked the scriptures to see if what he said was true. So we're going to be good Bereans. I'm going to ask you all to be good Bereans, and therefore to go back with me and look at Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 9 through 16, and I want us to see what Paul, the text that Paul is actually quoting here in Romans 10. Starting in verse 9, And Yahweh your Elohim will make you overabundant in all your work of your hand, and in the fruit of your body, and in the fruit of your cattle, and in the fruit of your land for good. For Yahweh will again rejoice over you for good, as he rejoiced over your fathers. If you shall hearken to the voice of Yahweh your Elohim, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book of the Torah, if you turn unto Yahweh your Elohim with all your heart and with all your soul. For this commandment, which I command you this day, is not too hard for you, neither is it far off. A lot of Christian scholars teach that the Torah is too hard. But here, the Torah itself says it's not too hard for you, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it to us and make us to hear it, that we may do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us and make us to hear it, that we may do it? But the word is very near to you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. See, I have set before you this day life and good and death and evil, in that I command you this day to love Yahweh your Elohim and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his ordinances. Then you shall live and multiply, and Yahweh your Elohim shall bless you in the land where you go to possess it. That's Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 9 through 16. Now, the first most important point to be made here is that Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 12 through 13 in the Torah, it's the Torah that we do not have to have brought down to us. But in Romans 10, verses 6 through 7, it's not the Torah, it's the Messiah that does not have to be brought down to us. So why does Paul misquote the passage? Why does Paul quote Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 12 through 13, which in context is talking about the Torah not having to be brought down to us, and instead applies it to the Messiah? Well, maybe it's because, following his logic, he starts in Romans 10:4 by saying that the Torah is the sum total of the Messiah. The Messiah is the sum total of the Torah, that the Messiah is the Torah and the Torah is the Messiah. And then he goes on, following that logic, to show the culmination of the Torah and the Messiah in the following verses. And in Deuteronomy chapter 30, to quote the material in Deuteronomy chapter 30 that's talking about the Torah and to apply it to the Messiah. Okay, there's much, much more I want to show you about this. We'll come back after this, and there's so much more.
When you were a child and began to walk, your mother and father took you by the hand. You walked as you joined your strength with them. As you learned from scroll to scroll, Yahuwah guide you to possess your soul, to grow and understand until you know, until you know, until you know your strengths within. Oh, only whole you will be, his strength expressed you perfectly. Oh, only whole you will be, unified with light unceasingly. Identified as one with him, I am Yahuwah flows within. Without reservation or default, your actualized man arises completely. When you were a child and began to walk, your mother and father took you by the hand. You walked as you joined your strength with them. As you learned from scroll to scroll, Yahuwah guide you to perfect your soul, to grow and understand until you know, until you know, until you know your strengths within. Oh, only whole you will be, His strings express you perfectly. Whole, only whole you will be, unified with light unceasingly, identified as one with Him. I am Yahuwah flows within, without reservation or default. Your actualized man rests completely. Your actualized man arises completely.
And we're back. We've been talking about Romans chapter 10, starting in verse 4 and working our way through around verse 7, I believe. And we've been demonstrating that if we're good Bereans, we've been demonstrating that Romans 10:4 is really saying that the Messiah is the sum total of the Torah, that the Messiah is the Torah itself. And that this is demonstrated because Paul goes on in verse 6 to quote from Deuteronomy chapter 30. But whereas in Deuteronomy chapter 30, it is speaking of the Torah and the Torah not having to be brought down to us, in the quote in Romans chapter 10, it is the Messiah that does not have to be brought down to us. In fact, if we look back to Romans 10, 6 through 8, and we side by side have Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 12 through 14 open to us, let's go back and read over verses 6 through 8 of Romans 10. And of the righteous, that is, by trust, he thus says, or by faith, he thus says, do not say in your heart, he who has ascended to heaven, it's referring to the Torah, the book of the Torah, literally, it says earlier in Deuteronomy chapter 30, it tells us in verse 10 that it's speaking of the book of the Torah. It says, but do not say in your heart, who has ascended to heaven, and in Deuteronomy 30:12, it's talking about the book of the Torah, but here he's talking about the Messiah. And who has descended to the depths of Sheol and brought up, this is Deuteronomy 30, verse 13, talking about the Torah, the book of the Torah in Deuteronomy 30, but Paul's talking about the Messiah from among the dead. But what does it say? The answer is near to you in your mouth and in your heart. Now, what is in your mouth and in your heart? Well, in Deuteronomy 30, verse 14, it says, but the word is very near to you in your mouth and in your heart that you may do it. What word? Well, the words which are the his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book of the Torah in verse 10. In Deuteronomy 30, verse 10. Okay? So, it's the very Torah. And so when the next verse, Paul says, which is the word of faith that we proclaim, or the word of trust that we proclaim, he must, by context, therefore, be referring to the Torah as the word of faith that we proclaim. Because the Torah is the Messiah, and the Messiah is the Torah. They cannot be separated from one another. Now let's turn in our scriptures to the book of Baruch. Now, you don't actually have, probably, a book of Baruch in your scriptures, unless you've got one of the rare Protestant editions that has the book of Baruch in an appendix in the back, or you're using a Catholic Bible. Unfortunately, the book of Baruch was taken out of your Bible. Okay, it was originally part of the Bible. I don't have time to make that case today, although I think that I will make it simply by showing you the prophetic significance of its contents today, and that Paul clearly is referring here to the book of Baruch. But we did a whole show on the Apocrypha and how the Apocrypha were taken out of your Bible, and I'll refer you back to look in the archives for the show on how the Apocrypha were taken out of your Bible from the Clear Truth Archives at our Podomatic page, and read up on that, or listen up on that that old episode. I want to turn to Baruch chapter 3, verse 29. And get this. We here read the same thing again. Who has gone up into heaven and taken her and brought her down from the clouds? Her in this passage is referring here in context in Baruch to wisdom. Okay? But it's paralleling Deuteronomy 30, where it's speaking of the Torah. And it's paralleling Romans 10, where it speaks of the Messiah. Okay? Who has gone over the sea and found her and will buy her for pure gold? No one knows the way to her or is concerned about the path to her. Okay? So this is clearly speaking of the quote, referencing the same thing, but it's talking not about specifically saying that it's talking about the Torah. It's talking about wisdom personified here. But it also is talking, whereas it's referencing the passages from the Torah in Deuteronomy 30 that are speaking about the book of the Torah. And remember, it said specifically in Deuteronomy 30, the book of the Torah. Okay? He, verse 33, who sends light from light, and it goes, called it, and it obeyed him in fear. I want to skip down to verse 37. Afterward, she, this same wisdom that has gone up into heaven, has gone over the sea, this same Torah, book of the Torah, that is talked about in Deuteronomy, that is representative of the Messiah being the wisdom. It says here, afterward she appeared upon earth and lived among men. So here we have a prophecy in the book of Baruch that was written long before Yeshua's day that says that the Messiah would actually become one of us, appear upon the earth and live among men, just as John chapter 1 says that the Word, the Torah, became flesh and dwelt among us. And then we get to verse chapter 4, verse 1. Now remember, these chapter and verse designations were added by men later, oftentimes, sadly, to interrupt the flow of logic and disrupt the meaning of a passage, as I've pointed out on many occasions before, and here is another one. Chapter 4, verse 1. She is the book of the commandments of Elohim and the Torah that endures forever. All who hold fast will live, and those who forsake her will die. Well, isn't that amazing? Here, we're specifically told that it's talking about the book of the commandments of Elohim and the Torah that endures forever. Deuteronomy 30 said that it's talking about the book of the Torah. Paul says it's talking about the Messiah. Paul seems to know that Baruch prophesied that this Torah would become an incarnate being and walk among us as prophesied here in Deuteronomy 28, in Baruch chapter 3, verses 29 and 30, verse 17, and chapter 4, verse 1. Afterward, she appeared upon the earth and lived among men. She is the book of the commandments of Elohim and the Torah that endures forever. All who hold her fast will live, and those who forsake her will die. And what do you know? Paul's point that he makes, if we turn back to Romans 10, verse 6 through 8 again. In fact, we turn to Romans 18, verse 10:5. It says, "For Moses thus wrote of the righteousness that is by the Torah, that he who does these will live by them, or have life by them." And Baruch chapter 4, verse 1 says, "All who hold her fast," speaking of the Torah, "will live." And Deuteronomy chapter 30 goes on to say that those who keep these commandments will have life by them. In chapter 30, verse 16, "In this that I command you this day, to love Yahweh your Elohim, to walk in his ways and keep his commandments and his statutes and his ordinances, then you shall live and multiply, and Yahweh your Elohim shall bless you in the land where you go in to possess it." And Paul's point in Romans chapter 10, verse 4, is that we receive life from this Torah, which is the Messiah, that they are one, and that we receive life by them. And since they are an everlasting Torah, it is an everlasting life that we receive from them. Okay? So, it is absolutely no doubt that Paul's train of thought in Romans chapter 10 is guided partly by Deuteronomy, but just as much by Baruch chapters 3 and 4. Yet the book of Baruch shouldn't be in your Bible, they say. It's not a Catholic book. It's a Jewish book. In fact, the book of Baruch, if you read it, it specifically prescribes that it's supposed to be read at the fall feasts. And I recommend you and your congregation, we have the fall feasts coming up, make it a practice, either in your local congregation or if you worship at home, to read and study the book of Baruch during the fall feasts, because that was exactly what was intended. Who, by the way, Baruch was Jeremiah's scribe. Okay, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, I'm going to show you something more in Romans chapter 10 and Deuteronomy chapter 30 on the soul level that confirms what we've been saying here on the other levels of understanding.
I am for my people, and my people are for me, and I will help thee and give thee my victory. I am for my people, and my people are for me, and I will strengthen thee to overcome your enemies. And I will strengthen thee to fulfill your potentiality. I am for my people, and my people are for me. I will not fail thee, nor shall I ever leave thee. I am for my people, and my people are for me. For I have chosen thee, that you should dwell with me. For I have chosen thee, to tabernacle with me. Alleluia, alleluia, all glory and praise be to your name. Alleluia, alleluia, all glory and praise be to your name. I am for my people, and my people are for me. And I will teach thee to walk holy with me. I am for my people, and my people are for me. And I will lead thee to succeed in all of your activities. And I will lead thee to succeed in all of your activities. I am for my people, and my people are for me.
Hey, Dad.
What's up, buddy?
You're always on this website.
You mean Nazarene Space?
Yeah, it's the only one you're ever on.
Well, that's because it has a lot to offer.
What do you mean?
Well, when I want to research a topic, there's usually a resource there. Plus, I can chat with my friends, and there's also a brand new radio station.
A radio station?
It sure is. It's the Nazarene Radio Network. I can listen to Bible teachers, talk shows, even music that teaches us all about Yahweh.
That sounds really cool. Is there stuff for kids?
As a matter of fact, little buddy, we're talking about adding programming for families, teenagers, even some dramatized plays that everyone would be interested in.
I think I like that.
Well, Mom and I definitely like that. Good, wholesome, clean programming for the whole family.
No wonder you're right there.
That's right, pal. Let's listen into the show.
Cool.
And we're back for our final segment, and then I have a few things I want to talk to you about. I want to look at Romans 10:6. It's quoting Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 12. And if we look closely at the phrase where Paul quotes the phrase, "Who shall go up for us to heaven?" In the original Hebrew, if you get the Hebrew text out and look at it, of Deuteronomy 30:12, and you take the first and last letter of each word that Paul quotes here to form a new word from this, each word in this phrase that Paul quotes, "Who shall go up for us to heaven?" This is a technique, by the way, known in Rabbinic Judaism as notary con, where you take the first or first and last letters of a word to create a new word. We spell the Hebrew word milah. Milah is the Hebrew word which not only means circumcision, but it also means word. Word. And if we take the last letters from each word in this phrase, we find that it spells Yahweh, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. So we have hidden and embedded on the sod level in the Hebrew phrase that Paul is quoting, the phrase Word of Yahweh. And Paul's point is that the Messiah and the Torah are both the Word of Yahweh. So the Torah is the Word. The Word is the Torah. The Torah is the Torah. And the Messiah are both the way, the truth, the light, the life, and the word, because the Torah is the Messiah. The Messiah is the sum total of the Torah. The Torah is, in fact, a living being, because the Torah is the Messiah. The letters of the Torah, from the first letter to the last letter, are one of the names of Yahweh, because the Torah itself is the Messiah. The Torah is the Messiah, and the Messiah is the Torah. You cannot reject one and accept the other. And no, we don't earn salvation by Torah observance, but we must accept the Torah if we are accepting the Messiah, because rejecting the Torah is rejecting the substance of who the Messiah is. Okay, I want to remind everybody that we're having a conference in June of 2012, Netzarim 2012, and keep updated by going to the events section at NazareneSpace.com. If you're not already a member of NazareneSpace.com, it's a free social network for people that are interested in Hebraic roots. So I recommend you go to NazareneSpace.com and sign up your own membership and create your own Nazarene Space page. And of course, you can listen there to the Nazarene Radio Network, where we are streaming live audio on our internet radio station, Nazarene Radio Network, 24/7. If you learn from the studies that we are teaching here at the Clear Truth Radio Podcast, whether you're listening on the radio, in the internet, on your iTunes, however you are getting this message, I want to encourage you to support this ministry. Not just the free podcasts, and we produce more than one, and the streaming teachings that we provide on the Nazarene Radio Network, but also the free Devar Bible School that we offer over the internet, and the many free materials we offer on the NazareneSpace.com website. Our free PDF books, such as The Apostasy and Restoration and Reclaiming Yeshua for Judaism, which have done so much in outreach in cooperation with the DeVar Bible School to bring people to a knowledge of Torah and Messiah. We are reaching out to a lost world with the dual message of Torah and Messiah, and as you learned today, the Torah and Messiah are actually one. And this is a message that the world needs to hear, and that rabbinic Jews need the Messiah. But they need to understand that the Messiah is the Torah. And Christians out there need the Torah, and they need to understand that the Torah is the Messiah. That the two are inseparable, they are parts of the same. We need your support. You know that. You are our partners in this. Donations have been down the last 2 months. I have not, in fact, seen them this low in a long time. We need you to step up to the plate. This is your part of our partnership. Ask yourself, is this teaching, is this ministry worthy of your support? I believe you know the answer, and you need to follow your conscience and go do what Yah is telling you you should do. You can support this ministry by going to our website, NazareneSpace.com, and clicking on the PayPal box there. And through that, you can use credit card, debit card, or bank account. Or you can simply mail check or money order to Nazarene Judaism at Nazarene Judaism, P.O. Box 471, Hearst, Texas 76053. That's Nazarene Judaism, P.O. Box 471, Hearst, Texas 76053. You are the ones that make this show possible and make the other teachings that we produce and make available possible. Also, I want to encourage you to download our free book, The Apostasy and Restoration. It's absolutely free. You can get it from our bookstore. You just go to NazareneSpace.com and click on Take Hold Books. And you can download The Apostasy and the Restoration for free. And we also have a book you may enjoy, particularly if you come from Rabbinic Judaism, called Reclaiming Yeshua for Judaism. These are both absolutely free. We have a number of other books there at the bookstore that are available for you, that are great books that you I highly recommend. The Greatest Hoax on Earth, Nazarene Theology. Our book, Understanding Paul, the chapter on Romans 10, goes into a lot of what I covered today on Romans, on the Torah and the Messiah. We also have a booklet there called The Clear Truth About the Apocrypha, which will demonstrate to you how the Apocrypha were originally part of your Bible and how they were taken out, which includes, of course, the Book of Baruch. And finally, I want to encourage you to take an opportunity on Sunday afternoons to turn the TV off. You know, I've heard so many of you over the years complain about the garbage that's on television. Turn it off. Take a day and turn it off. And instead, gather around and listen to, I'd like to say, the radio, the internet stream. as we stream on Nazarene Radio Network at NazareneSpace.com, old-time radio, the family-oriented types of broadcasts that were on the radio back in the 30s and 40s at a time when everybody would gather around. It was before TV lost track of family values, and it was before television. And families would gather around together and listen to the radio together It's just take an opportunity. Try it out. You'd be surprised. The bonding time that you can have by just turning off the TV once a week and listening to the old-time radio dramas and comedies of the 30s and 40s. So anyway, that's a great thing to do with your family and spend some family time together on Sunday afternoons. By the way, if you're not already listening to it, this week's episode of Restoring Our Nation, which is a broadcast that I co-host with my good friend and attorney, Larry Meadows. We're having a great discussion this week on intellectual property rights, believe it or not, and there's so many misunderstandings about them in the Messianic community, setting the story straight about things like copyrights and fair use and things that a lot of people think they may know a lot about, and frankly, my experience is most people really don't know as much as they think they know. And there's no shame in that. It's just a reality. Most people don't know as much, know what they think they know about a lot of intellectual property rights issues. So tune in this week on Restoring Our Nation. You can go to listen to that on Podomatic, or you can go to NazareneSpace.com, and I usually announce in my blogs each episode, and so you can find it from there. That's it for this week. Thank you for making the Clear Truth the one of the leading, possibly the leading Hebraic Roots podcast on the internet. Certainly right up there, and I appreciate you listening and you taking the time, and we of course always appreciate your financial support and your prayers. Please consider again financially supporting this work. We have so much more we could do, and we have plans for things that we hope to do if we really had more financial support to support doing them. So, until next time, don't believe me, believe your scriptures, believe Elohim.
We hope you enjoyed this edition of The Clear Truth. We'd like to send you a free booklet by mail. This booklet is also available via email. Send your request to cleartruth@yahoo.com. That's cleartruth@yahoo.com. When you make a request via email, you keep our costs down, and we appreciate it. Our mail address is Nazarenes, P.O. Box 471, Hearst, Texas, 76053, USA. This broadcast, the booklets, and all the work of this worldwide ministry is supported by tithes and offerings from people just like you. You can help support this work by sending a check or money order to the same address, Nazarenes, P.O. Box 471, Hearst, Texas, 76053, USA. That's Nazarenes, P.O. Box 471, Hearst, Texas, 76053, USA. Or you can contribute online at WNAE.org. That's WNAE.org. In closing, we'd like to encourage you to join our online community. It's a social network. There is a lot of great stuff on the site. The web address is NazareneSpace.com. That's NazareneSpace.com. Thank you for listening to this edition of The Clear Truth with Dr. James Scott Trim.